gosh, I'm coming through there. Ha ha, there you go. Hey, good morning, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. This is the WLBB Community Voice. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest this morning, handsome young man out of the city of Villarrica. He wants to be the District 71 state rep. Just take you back on how this all evolved earlier this year. James Allen Collins decided he did not want to seek re-election, so after 8 years, he did not get his name on the ballot. So we've got that position open, which will begin next year. Two candidates who people in that district will be deciding on: Judd Howard, the Republican, and the Democrat is Quasi Hudson.
Quasi Hudson, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, tell people just vote for Howard. Right. All right. Quasi Hudson, our guest, sir, on this morning's Community Voice program. Thank you for coming out and talking about your campaign. Always good to see you. I think, again, Quasi's been a friend of mine for at least 6-7 years.
Right, yes, sir.
Well, let's talk about the campaign. What are the main points of your campaign? why do you want to go to the State House?
Oh, that's a great question. And first, before I get started, thank you for having me here.
Absolutely.
Good morning, Carroll County. It's good to be here. I want to say first that I hope Mr. Howard, Judge Howard's dad, is doing okay. I heard he had an accident maybe late last month. I haven't seen Judd or talked to Judd maybe in a couple of weeks ago. And just want to say my prayers. My family's still praying for his family.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Yes, sir. Let's go. All right. So the reason why I'm running for this seat, bro, it's a lot of reasons. This may take up to the first break. You know, it's a lot of reasons.
Well, you have reasons. That's good.
Right. And let's go. And I separate between running for a state seat and also how it would affect District 71 and the community as a whole. So it's a lot of reasons, and those are two where I separate them at. Mm-hmm. So I'm just gonna go with state first, okay? Cause that's the easiest one to get out. Let's go. So Georgia, there's a lot of things going on in Georgia that I don't agree with, you know? During 2020, I had a whole lot of phone calls from people who live in this county who was just concerned about how they was being represented and how they felt like that people who represent them did not care about them during that whole COVID thing and whatnot, you know. in addition to a good friend of mine's, and I've been saying it on the campaign trail, I'm guessing she ain't heard it yet. We was talking during 2020 and trying to push people to vote. And one of the things she said to me was, well, what if they change the rules, you know? What if they change the rules? And that kind of stuck with me because in 2020, rules got changed, you know, mm-hmm. on how you vote, where the voting box is located at, how you can apply for a absentee ballot. Just rules got changed, and rules are continually to be changed, you know, to inhibit, in my opinion, voter rights, how people have access to voting, you know. So with this rule change, I was thinking like, these guys do not really represent me. They're not doing things for the best of my people in my community. They're making it harder for people in my community, you know, my community is everybody, you know, harder to vote. So that's one of the state reasons.
Can I throw you off right there? Can I stop you right there? Because mm-hmm. With that, I mean, I hear there are concerns about, you know, the rules that are in effect and things mm-hmm. like that. But I think the Republicans can come back and say, well, look, we've just, you know, we've got this record-setting early voting.
Right.
So is that not, it's like it must have been made easier for people to go out and vote.
Oh, no, I'm going to kind of push back on that.
Absolutely. Please,
I'd like to push back on that because I wholeheartedly believe that the Republicans have learned that early voting works, and now they're pushing their people to go early vote. I know former president, that guy, Trump, is pushing people to early vote, and a lot of people listen to him. So that's the reason why people are going
to... He did initially say, you know, don't go out, don't mess with
that. Right.
But he has, you're right. He has jumped on that.
Right. And so usually, you know, in elections, we Democrats jump out ahead first from early voting. And Republicans have to make that ground up on election day. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how this election is going to turn out. You know, this is a crazy year, you know. But in addition to, let me just say one thing about the voting, and I want to, what's the boy's name? Secretary Russelberger just came out with a study where only 20 people, 20 non-citizens, and I don't know how far it goes back, only 20 people had was on the roll for voting. People, like 20 people, non-citizens, over like 10, 15 years, got able to register to vote. Now, in the article I read, it states that none of them was able to vote. I think maybe like two of them tried to vote but was stopped, and now they're, you know, slowing the roll. But all of this happened these 10 people registered to vote before they have had made us have ID to vote, you know. So just requiring ID without having to add the non-immigrant status stuff on ID stopped that mess, you know, so to speak. So while they continue to try to make it harder for people to vote, the rules that we have in place already is doing the job they're complaining about, you know. And this is like not 20 people last year in one election. This is 20 people over maybe a 5-10 year span who was able to get registered. I want to say it again, so for people, make sure I'm saying it, you know, get it right. Over 5-10 year span was able to register to vote, you know, who were not from this country, you know.
Or not here legally.
Not here legally, right. And the system stopped them and allowed them to be able to vote, you know. But I also want to say that all happened. Those 20 people made it that far in the process because at that time, Georgia didn't require you to have an ID, which we do now, which shows that the law is already doing its freaking job, you know. Let's get back to one of the reasons. Of course, 6 weeks ban on abortion. I have daughters, I have aunts, you know, I have friends, sisters, things of this nature. I really believe this is a woman's right to choose. It's not any of my business or anybody's business what a woman or a family does in making that decision. I've known married couples who have had to make that tough decision, you know. It's putting women women and doctors, physicians in a particular spot when a woman's life is in jeopardy. And I believe that maybe a couple of weeks ago, and forgive me because I've been campaigning, so I'm not able to keep up with the news as much as I should. But I believe a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, it came out that in Georgia, two women may have lost their lives because they were not able to have procedures that would be counted as an abortion to save their lives and miscarriage. So another reason, you have to assume that everywhere you go in this state, that everybody has a gun, you know, because we are allowed to carry handguns without a concealed handguns. That's scary to me, you know. Sounds like the Wild Wild West a little bit, but I know in the Wild Wild West, some people make you check your guns before you came to the city. You know, surprising how we are now. In this times that we have when our schools are unsafe, you know, our society, we don't have our schools are unsafe. I just believe that we should have a little bit more gun control, gun safe laws, you know. And they did little things. They did something last session where it was I agree with, but we can push a little bit more. Is that one of the laws that came with last year is that if you buy a gun safe or a gun lock when you purchase your gun, you get a tax write-off for that, you know. So that's a baby step in the right direction. You know, we need to push a little bit further. Number four, you always hear about Georgia being the number one business, the number one state for business. You know, I don't believe that's so true. You know, I see a whole lot of different. That may be opinion. I see a whole lot of that's something I did research. I saw a lot of different pollings and different things that said Georgia may be number 6, Georgia may be number 8, mm-hmm. number 12, sure. North Carolina's number 1. It's all about what magazine.
Missouri, Indiana,
right.
Maybe.
Right, right.
And because we do hear that so much in these campaigns, I mean, over the last 4 or 5 years, we've heard that from several candidates. I mean, probably heard it 20 times. I mean, I have looked up, well, what is Georgia not number 1 in?
Right,
I
right.
mean, there are 20 different categories that are created,
right.
and Georgia struggles, or is at least, you know, at the midpoint for
right.
a lot of the other ones.
Right,
too,
and that's so. The one I would brag about. But, you know, but all of us are not business owners in this area. You know, a lot of us right. are employees, and, you know, what you say, look and see where we're at. So if I look for some polls that said what we let for employees, for workers, and we're like 40th, 38th, 37th. So I would like to be the person, well, I'm not be the person, I am going to be the person, or one of the people up there who's really fighting for the everyday worker, you know, middle America, the people who actually have to clock in, the people who have to has a boss, you know, the people who have to make those ends meet, the people watching their pockets, the people who have to make decisions if I'm buying diapers or milk, you know, at the grocery store. Those people I'm fighting for, because Georgia is a work for right state, and that's not, you know, it's really nothing you can do to it really make it hard for you to unionize in this state, to be able to fight for wages, to be able to fight for PTO, things of that nature. So let's flip the script and be about everyday workers, you know, instead of about businesses, you know. So that's pretty much a lot of things on the state level. I like talking about the community for a second, reason for running from the community. growing up in this area, you really don't see a whole lot of African-American Democrats run for office in this area. You know, you go to a ballot, it's been a complaint of a lot of people I know, you know, because I've been an advocate for voting since I come back from the Navy, you know. I go to the polls, all I see is all these people running unopposed. Who am I supposed to vote for, you know? So we really haven't had a choice about who we wanted to represent us in this area. So do that over a course of a long year and nobody steps up to run these elections, you seem to think that these people cannot be beat, you know? And it makes it hard for the people who are voting, because if they believe that they cannot be beat, they don't come vote, you know? So I wanna, you know, put myself on the ballot, because I hear all the time that I don't know anybody on that ballot, you know? And at this point in time, you really know some, well, I ain't gonna say everybody knows, so I'm running so many people I don't know, it's amazing. But the people who don't vote who know me, you know somebody on the ballot. So you don't have no excuse not to vote in this election at all, you know? So we gonna make sure that we get those people out and push out the vote, things of that nature. Let's see. I think also as a Democrat, one of my roles in this community is that I'm the Democrat at second vice chair. If you want that hat, you can have it, bro. You know, I got so many hats, I'm trying to give them away. But in that role, my job is also to find people to run for office as a Democrat. I have not been successful at all. And I hear Democrats don't win. Have you ran? And I always tell them, no, I've campaign managed for a lot of races, but I never ran, so I get the experience, now I'm running now. And just show people that we can be competitive and we can win, you know. I wish I had some polling. I don't know. Everywhere I go, I'm hearing I got your votes, but I'm not everywhere, you know. So I'm quite sure my opponent's doing a great job pushing people out to vote too. So we're going to see on October, November 5th, and see how this thing goes. But that's a few of the reasons why I'm running, you know. If you don't mind, can I give a background real quick? Because I didn't jump past that.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
you mentioned your time in the military. I wanted to make sure that you put that out there as well. So I guess give us your background.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much. We know each other so well, you know. Born and raised in Villarica, son of Charles and Vicky Hudson. My grandparents are the late John Leonard Hudson and Mrs. Sally Bell Hudson, and Mr. Joseph Sheffield and Miss Catherine Sheffield. I would do want to add that I am the nephew of Linda Mason. I get asked that so much on the campaign. Are you Linda Mason's nephew? Yes, I am. She must be known all over the county, will I tell you. Graduated from Villarica in 1995, joined the Navy in 1999. Did about 12 years in the Navy. Came back home. My ex-wife, she and I got divorced. She moved back here to Villarica. And so I followed maybe a year and a half later, because I wanted to be in my children's life here. Came back here and got to work, factory jobs, and also working with a nonprofit out of Atlanta called New Order Human Rights Organization. Sort of like a NAACP, so to speak, organization, but they really handled human rights. The guy who's over, a guy named Gerald Rose, he traveled all over the country doing things. Police brutality, things going to school, you know, we worked at things in Paulding County, Anniston, Atlanta. I sat and talked to at that time people from Cobb County Police, Cobb County Sheriff's, and in that organization, I was the political strategist, I believe they called me at that time, and I learned a whole lot doing that job and really, really fell in love with politics. At that time, Dr. Bernice Brooks and Mrs. Cordis Long, you know, they was pulling me, tagging me, twisting my arm to come do work in the Carrollton area, Carroll County area. And that's how I got involved with the NAACP, Kiwanis Club, and Democratic Party. Probably like 10 years ago, I was the water carrier, you know. I would take the chairs to the trunk, carry the water, set up, things of that nature. Then they allowed me to start attending meetings, and then they start allowing me to lead meetings. Then they start allowing me to go to meetings by myself. And here I am. I've learned a lot from those ladies and other people who have supported me and guided me on this journey to where I am now. and I'm very appreciative. Right now, I am the, you know, just give my stats. Like I say, if anybody want these hats, call me, you know, call me. I would gladly give them to you. Right now, I'm the president of the Villarica Temple Kiwanis Club, a great bunch of people. They do a good job of making me look good. The third VP of the Carroll County NAACP branch, and also the second vice chair of the Democratic committee here in Carroll County. And that's why I'm here, you know. I want to show that we can win. It's a possibility we can win. Also inspire others to come run behind me. In addition to giving them the playbook, you know, like most times when you run out here, you by yourself, especially as a Democrat or a black person, you by yourself. I remember Dr. Brooks was running, or Michelle Bell was running. It was probably me, Dr. Brooks, and Michelle Bell and Ms. Corliss Long out door knocking, lit dropping by ourselves for days. You know, I'm blessed to have a whole volunteer team provided from the Democratic Party, Carroll County Democratic Party. We've done a great job of recruiting volunteers who all, now all I got to do is show up. Honestly, just show up and everything's done. It's so wild to me how organized we Carroll County Democrats are right now. So that's really it on that one.
It's 8:46. I should take our first break right now. We'll just cram them in at the last 10 minutes. But let me ask you this before we do go to a break. Do you see an issue that you care about, that your perspective could actually have somebody with the R, you know, somebody who typically votes Republican? If we, if I just put it out there broadly that, you know, somebody's Republican is going to look for that R. If they're not going to educate themselves on everything, they're just going to look for that R. You know, Democrats may just look for that D when they go vote. Okay. Is there an issue that you might have an opinion on that you see would say, you know, Republicans say, well, all right, I mean, that's I understand that a little bit.
Well, I would say it's really, let me say this. Great question. I really believe the biggest problem in America, you know, the biggest problem in America is the wealth gap. You know, to me, that's the biggest problem, the wealth disparity in this country. And the have-nots, the haves, the ones who got the money, not like, and we're talking about big money, like Elon Musk money, you know, Bill Gates money, billionaires, you know, big money, not the $100,000 money. They really do. These people do
like a Steve Gradick. Yes,
I haven't counted his pockets yet, but man, you gonna make me want to now. But these people do a great job of making those of us who don't have money think that it's each other's fault or why they're in the situation they're in. You know, I would really like to have a conversation with an R about, you know, are any of your family members on Social Security? Are any of your family members on Medicaid? Who was really watching your pockets, you know, because in this state, Republicans, in my opinion, because they talk about it so much, are for businesses, you know, making sure businesses run. We want to attract businesses. We want to attract those people. But these businesses, and some businesses, I don't want to generalize all businesses because there's some great employers out there, you know, but some businesses really take advantage of their employees, you know, pay. You know, I really believe that if you are a factory worker, you drive a forklift, $11, $12, $16 is not enough money. You know, you're operating major equipment. That should be $20-$25 job, you know. So we can talk about some financing and whatnot and just how it all breaks down to you. So that's the one thing I like, your pockets. Let's get some more money in your pockets.
All right, Kwanzaa Hudson is the Democrat candidate for District 71 State House of Representatives here in the state of Georgia. We've gone through 20 minutes.
Right.
We're going to come back and probably have about 8 minutes after this break to wrap up our program. Again, if you have questions or comments, I'll look to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page and see if you have any up there, and I'll share them with our guest in that segment. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The World Language Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in biliteracy fields of study. The successful completion of this journey provides colleges with a method to recognize a rigorous foreign language immersion experience for all students at Oak Mountain Academy. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
All right, 850. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name's Colin Worthington. My guest this morning, Kwasi Hudson, one of two candidates for that District 71 State House seat. Jay Collins not seeking re-election this year. So his, I think, final 8 years will be at the end of December, and then we'll have a new candidate representing that district under the Gold Dome. A couple people did check in. William Keskis said voted for you. Jenny Jeannie Dollar said vote Kwasi for someone who truly cares about all people in the district and living people, lifting people up, not dividing them. And then Jim Waters, I think he just doesn't understand what race this is because he's, you know, putting his graffiti up on there.
By he probably said a go Trump or something like that.
Yeah, he's done that a lot. I've seen that over the last 3 weeks. I've seen him posting that.
Yeah, he's politicking, getting his voters out there. You know, we get it how we can. You know, it's crazy times.
Thank you, Jim, for checking in, though, this morning.
Right.
A topic that has become an issue, it's become a topic, I mean, through the media. Obviously, the candidates are talking about this. Now, give me your perspective on illegal immigration. Is that a problem that has a big effect in Georgia? Is that something that Georgia needs to address as far as keeping legal residents out of the state? Is that something they need to focus on sooner than later, or is it something you'd leave it up to you're going to leave it up to the border states, the ones like Texas and maybe the states connected to Canada?
I just want to before we jump on this, we had a bill. We had a bill.
On the federal level,
we had a bill to help this problem. You know, that was going a lot more money, give more border control agents. You know, give people more time. Well, a streamlined process to get the asylum, get the right paperwork in and whatnot. And it was killed by the guy who Jim Waters is promoting to be president. You know, and he's not, and that's terrible. You know, because he wanted to be a campaign problem so he can Trump on it. Now, I just want to say that. Immigration is a tough call for me because I grew up believing that Statue of Liberty, bring you hungry, bring you tired, everybody comes, you know. This is a tough one, bro, because I know a lot. Let me just say this. Everybody who comes over that border are not criminals. Let me just get this off my chest. Let me just say it the way I want to say it. Everybody who comes across that border are not criminals, you know. And people are doing a really great job of dehumanizing those people who's coming across that border, making us feel that they are unsafe. They're bringing fentanyl, you know, they're criminals. They're a whole bunch of trouble. And that's what we're being, well, I ain't gonna say we, cause I'm not watching that channel every day, but that's what people who watch that channel are being told every day. I'm having conversations in the street and have to remind people that we are a land of immigrants. You know, when the Scots came over, they weren't treated well. You know, when Irishmen came over, they were not treated well. You know,
not to mention the Africans.
Right. But we didn't come willingly. You know, we didn't come willingly. We didn't come over here seeking an opportunity and whatnot. We came over here giving other people opportunities. You know,
but they do differentiate. I mean, it's anytime that I think the argument like yours is made, they differentiate and say, hey, well, we're fine with all that, but how about, you know, the people who are illegally? Why don't they just go through that process? Does the process need to be easier? How much can you dig into somebody's background? Is that, and again, the state of Georgia, I mean, should that be a priority this year for the state of Georgia?
I really don't think so. If I learn that it's affecting the state of Georgia as the border states, now I may relook at that. It's a lot of things I do have to learn about what's going on, but I don't see too many jobs being taken from in this area. I don't see too many illegal immigrants doing a lot of crime on that Carroll County 411 page, you know. And I don't follow the trends of crimes in other parts of the state, but I don't believe that's a real issue here in Georgia at this time, you know. I believe everybody who's here in our community is pretty much peaceful and loving life and enjoying how sweet and how quaint Carroll County is, you know. And like I was telling one of my partners the other day, who was kind of pushed back about if they, how you, you know, these people come from Ecuador and all these war-torn countries, Haiti, and they live like that. How are they going to assimilate in our community if they had to live in our survival, you know? And I would think that maybe our community, you know, should be a community opportunity where it should be easy for you to assimilate into, to be able to have a better life for yourself and your family. That's what America has always, always been about, a land opportunity. You know, we have turned into a land of me, honestly. Like, what's in it for me? You know, what you gonna do for me? How I'm gonna be you, you know? And that's another conversation, but that's kind of sort of what's driving this talk about immigration, is that they come here, they're taking our jobs, they're taking your money, they're taking your land, and they're really not, you know, they're really not, you know. So
time right now is 8:57. My guest again this morning, Kwasi Hudson. He is one of two candidates remaining for the District 71 State House seat. You know, I put together a bunch of questions before all these candidate shows, and sometimes I run out of questions, and sometimes I don't get to touch hardly any of them. Today, that'll be one of the cases today, and that's fine. I think you're showing, you know, who you are on this program, and that's what it is all about. So we'll take our final break and come back, and I'll decide if I'll ask you a question or just let you, you know, give me the doorstep speech.
Okay.
But again, our time right now is 8:57. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
All right, 8:58. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice. Kwasi Hudson, my guest. Man, I got less than 2 minutes here, Kwasi.
All right.
Hopefully you can answer this one in one minute or all. You know. Actually, you know what? Maybe we'll just stretch it over 5 minutes over the hour. Josh, how about that? Go ahead and put it on auto or hit the auto button there so it doesn't jump up, and then we'll go to 9:05. So keep me posted on that. Absolutely. All right, Kwasi. Should the state of Georgia expand voter access by allowing same-day voter registration, which would remove obstacles to voting by mail and make secure ballot drop boxes accessible at all times through Election Day?
Man, thank you. But yes, that really should happen. That absolutely should happen, because I'm running into people who now who may not be registered to vote in this election because they waited too long to check their registration. You know, I'm getting asked a lot of questions about early voting. When is it? Where is it? But same day registration should happen. I don't know the registration process, so I would believe that it would be a simple process, like a click of the button. From what I understand is that you register online, then your county election board does the actual registration for you. But it should be something very simple. I should be able to go in there and on a day to vote and say, "Hey, I'm not registered. Can I register to vote?" And boom, you should be able to vote. That's giving everybody access to the voter box. Cause I may not, I've talked to so many younger people in the generation who didn't want to vote early on in the process, who may want to vote now, many of them aren't vote now, but they're not registered to vote and they're getting locked out and not able to vote.
As far as elections, staying on the topic, you know, I don't know why I've never asked Carroll County Elections this or Michelle Morgan on why Villa Rica is only that last week.
I think it's more about money, you know, and just to be real honest, we don't vote in this area. You understand what I'm saying? We really don't vote. Like in the mayoral race in Villarica, I think maybe, and you correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 1,200 people came out and voted for the runoff election between her and a former mayor, Gil McDougal, and she won like 900 to 300. Yeah. And so, and speaking from a money, a financial standpoint, why would I open up a election, you know, precinct for a whole 2 weeks and nobody's going to use it, you know?
You I'll still ask him, but yeah, I mean, that does sound legit. Right. That does sound legit. All right, time right now is 9 o'clock exactly. You're listening to News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, broadcasting out of Carrollton, Georgia. There's your station ID on this Friday.
Right.
Kwasi Hudson is my guest. Talk about designing the shapes of each district, because gerrymandering, you know, that topic, that's a discussion every year and every 10 years. Should that be an award for the party that does have the most members in each chamber, or should that be assigned to an independent outside group?
It should really be assigned to an independent who does the best for the citizens, because, you know, and Republicans have had the power for a long time in Georgia, but I cannot say that honestly that if Democrats got the power to do that would the would they do the same, you know? And it was amazing to me that the Times Georgian, surprisingly, the Times Georgian had an article in their newspaper earlier this week about actual gerrymandering in Georgia. Surprisingly, they didn't write the article. They, you know, somebody else wrote the article, right? But it was telling how Republicans in this area are so securing the fact that they don't think they're going to lose a majority, which they're not, or a whole lot of seats not going to be flipped because they have gerrymandered the area. Gerrymandering means, for folks who don't know, is that they draw the district lines, the voting lines, so they draw their voters, you know, put all Republicans in this area, Democrats in this area, and it's just, and you see the lines was crazy, you know. It's been some things, and this happened, like I think Dr. Brooks got redrawn her line some years ago. I think many moons ago, Mr. Tater Lee, he was redrawn out the Villarica city limits when he won the mayorship, you know. So it's a very tough tactic to use to get the results you want, you know. So I really believe that should be an independent bipartisan effort to draw lines, so everybody has a fair shot. And that's not just another way they're stealing our votes.
All right, this may be my last question that I'm able to get here. Should the state of Georgia stop using taxpayer dollars intended for public education to pay for private school vouchers? That was just a small group. I mean, they passed a law last year.
Right.
And it just affects a small group. Really doesn't affect Carroll County.
Right.
But that is a test. They are testing the waters to see if they see it beneficial to consider you know, school voucher system for the rest of the state.
That's a great question. And you know, I'm watching how that happens. But let me just say this. As a former Navy recruiter who recruited in Columbus, Georgia, Auburn, Alabama, in Oklahoma, I see the differences, and I saw the differences in school, and that's what really kickstarted my political stance, and seeing that everybody in America doesn't get the same education, you know, and that education is the basis points for our opportunities in America. So I'm watching to see how this happened, but I'm a very high proponent of public schools. I believe that all money should stay in public schools to make sure that every kid has the best opportunity to grow and be what they want to become in this great land opportunity of America. So I would like to see the results of how many people used it, where it went, and what the results of that. And hopefully how they gonna try to, when I say they, how state Republicans gonna try to spin it to where everybody can use that voucher. And that, I'm hoping we can stop.
All right, but close to 9:04 right now, 9:03 in some sort of seconds here. But I mean, contact information, people wanna get a website, Facebook page where people can reach out to you personally.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay, check this out. So look, I just wanna say I'm on what you own. You know, I'm on what you own. If you a worker, if you got a boss, if I'm on what you're on. If you're trying to make your check stretch to 2 weeks, the week, the month, however, I'm on what you own. I'm fighting for you. And if I'm not, what I'm check my website out. It's KWASIFOR71.com. Check me out. Make sure that I'm on what you're on. If I'm not on what you own, email me at KWSFOR71. Jeff71@gmail.com and get me together so we can both be on what you're on. I'm for the working man. I'm for the everyday person. You know, the people out here trying to get it, trying to live life, raise their kids, keep their people safe, and feed their families.
All right, early voting is today and tomorrow and Monday through Friday of next week at the Carroll County Elections
and
Office.
Villarica.
On Monday of next week, Monday through Friday, it'll be at Powell Park in Villarica.
Yes.
Kwasi, good to see you. Thank you for coming
out
this morning. And thank you for watching the News Talk 1330 WLBB Community Voice. Everybody have a great weekend.